At Washington's Folger Shakespeare Library through the end of this month is an exhibition titled Renaissance Journalism and the Birth of the Newspaper. Tracing the news industry from the late 16th century, it's a fascinating evolution filled with such artifacts as early handwritten newsletters, one-sheet foreign-published corantos, bound news books, and printed weekly newspapers in continuous circulation to this day. The exhibit is a voyage into antiquity, conducted for me by the Folger's Betsy Walsh, here pointing to a slim Elizabethan-era volume reporting on a scandal in Rome.
This particular one is an account of an attempt on the life of the Pope. However, there is an illustration of the man who is confronting the Pope with a gun, but there's a little bubble, what we would consider a cartoon, so that the reader is invited to put his own caption.
Interactive?
Yes, the early interactive.
An odd little foreshadowing of things three centuries later to come. But that's where the similarities end, because everything about Elizabethan journalism is as dated as a ruffed collar, a codpiece, and a barrel of mead. It's just astonishing what in those quaint and primitive days of yore passed for news.
We have a report here from 1669 of the eruption of Mount Etna, which includes an engraved picture of the event that was brought back by a traveler.
3 days after the eruption of Mount St. Helens in southwest Washington state, imponderables dust the air like volcanic ash.
This is strange news of a prodigious monster, which seems to what we would call conjoined twins that were born in London. And so this is an account of that sort of unnatural birth.
Salt Lake City, where doctors are performing a separation surgery on some four-year-old conjoined twin girls. And can you imagine?
Shortly before Christmas in 1679, Mr. Dryden, the King's Poet Laureate, was coming out of a coffee house on Thursday night and was set upon by three men who did beat him so severely that 'tis thought he will hardly recover.
A black BMW cruises slowly down the Las Vegas Strip. Inside, rap and film star Tupac Shakur sits in the passenger seat. No one sees the white Cadillac that slowly pulls up alongside, or the gun that's aimed directly at Tupac.
The archaic flavor of early journalism wasn't limited to pulp nonfiction either. It was thick with tales of the devil's work and imagined conspiracies of the sort that would never be worthy of mention in modern times. Betsy Walsh.
Well, this particular one is an update on a very hot topic at the time, the Popish plot, supposed plot. It was more of a conspiracy theory that the Catholics were trying to overthrow Charles II, who was a Protestant, and replace him with his Catholic brother, James.
The Popish plot allegation, Walsh says, triggered an investigation by Magistrate
Sir Edmund Barry Godfrey, who found that the accusations were probably without merit. Unfortunately, before the decision was totally rendered, the magistrate was found dead. His body was found in a London park.
Deputy White House Counsel Vincent Foster Jr. was found dead at 6 p.m. in Fort Marcy Park, just outside.
Unlike today, most news in Renaissance England was from abroad, less owing to English curiosity about foreign events than to royal suppression of domestic news, which was considered by both Parliament and throne as inherently destabilizing or even seditious. How silly and retro.
It was a shameful act for someone to disclose this very important program in time of war.
Well into the 18th century, the only domestic news permitted was that disseminated through licensees of the state.
They wouldn't allow printers to print news of the government because they thought the people should not be allowed to interpret government activities for themselves. But they realized that there would be some advantage to using the press to get their message out to the people.
One network has fair and balanced coverage. Stay with Fox News Channel.
As early as 1650, the mini mass media were subsidized by advertising, mainly for sleazy patent medicines such as Digby's Sympathetical Powder. Snake oil claims, of course, long since obliterated by vigilant government regulators.
Extends is a simple tablet that can make virtually any man larger, noticeably larger. We're so sure Extends will make you larger, we're going to send you a week's supply absolutely free.
I am pleased to report that the foibles and excesses of early journalism did not go unnoticed in their time. In the early 1600s, Shakespeare contemporary Ben Jonson wrote a play titled The Staple of News, ridiculing both the purveyors and consumers of gossip, scandal, and propaganda. How blessed we are that no such satire is necessary today.
Yesterday, the New York Times made an announcement. They're reducing the width of their newspaper by an inch and a half. We did it. That's an inch and a half less of state secrets revealed every day.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by Brooke. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson and more engineering help from Zach Marsh. We also had help from Dina Prechep. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.